الساعة في كل سامة ولكن محافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك توراة وتمتعه فيها طويلا. Returning to the wasiyya of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam to his son, we come to this point where Imam says, وَجَاهِدْ فِي بِاللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ وَلَا تَأْخُذْكَ بِاللَّهِ لَوْمَةُ اللَّائِمْ, says Hassan, strive as you should in the way of Allah, and in the way of this striving for Allah, have the mocking and taunting that should have the least effect in your striving. Striving over here is being translated for jihad, and inshallah we'll talk about that in a moment. And then says, وَخُذِ الْغَرَرَاتِ إِلَى الْحَقْ حَيْثُ كَانْ, in the difficulties and pains in the way of haq, participate wheresoever you may be. And then says, وَتَفَقَّحْ فِي الدِّينِ, learn thee properly. وَعَبْرِدْ نَفْسَكَ التَّسَبُّرْ عَلَى الْمَكْرُوحِ فَنِعْمَ الْخَلْفَ السَّبِرْ, train yourself to be patient in unpleasant situations. Indeed, patience is the best quality. Now the gist of Imam's wasiyya yesterday was mostly towards being moderate. Moderate in the sense that you have to be within those limits that were set by Allah. Imam said that in talking you have to be within the limits. When it comes to observing, the other thing was that you have to mind your own business in simple words. Or in observing the limits of the religion, Imam says, be within the parameters. And then says, not to trespass the bounds of that deen. So everything has to be in that, the gist was to be within the limits at all times. So what is being mentioned over here now is that man, he has to constantly think of himself, find a way for his own salvation first. As they say in the airplane, that in case of emergency and if you need oxygen, have the mask on yourself first and then assist the fellow passenger. The same thing is over here. You have to equip yourself with deen first. You have to make yourself strong, and then you have to help others as well. So first yourself, you have to protect yourself. And when it comes to protection with regards to deen, it was mentioned repeatedly from the ayat of Quran that we have to convince ourselves, have that faith from where we have come, what the origin is, and where we are heading to, what the end is. In that beautiful poem in Farsi says that Ruz ha tikre mani nasto hamishat sukhanan kichara ghafila zahbad dil khishtana. Throughout the day and at all nights, it's this thinking of mine, this pondering of mine. And what is that? That why am I so much away from myself? Why have I not know who I am? As kuja amadanam, amadanam bahre chibu, from where have I come and where am I departing to? So that is to be known. So that was regarding our origin and our destination. In this wasiyya today, where Imam talks about jihad, what is the position of this jihad first of all? What does it mean? Jihad, it is one of those communal services. It is not a service which is related to an individual. Prayers, fasts, for example, it is to myself. Jihad, when it comes, it is to do with the community. Although me myself will benefit from it, but it is the community at large. So Imam here says that the pros, the cons have to be understood. of this duty, the benefit, the loss of it has to be understood. And all of the benefit and the loss of this one divine commandment of Allah turns to the community. If one serves the community has benefited from that service. For example, this program that was established by a few, that is a service, a communal service. Although the community is benefiting from it, but those who had established it, they will also be rewarded, they will also get their share. So that is with the communal services. And at times we find that this communal wajib is so strong that hundreds of individual wajibs would not be a match to this one wajib. For example, jihad. If you look into the whole system while Abu Abdullah Hussein moves, he says, إِنَّمَا خَرَجْتُ لِطَلَبِ الْإِسْلَامِ. That is, prayers is wajib, fast is wajib, hajj is wajib. He says, I stood for correction. So I stood for correction purposes, to correct all this wrong that had come into the community. For that reason, Imam says that I stood, I moved لطلب الإسلام في أمة جدي. Why was that? أريد أن أمر بالمعروف, that I want to enjoin right, I want to correct everything. So this communal service, sometimes it's in the form of أمر بالمعروف, that I invite others to correct them. Sometimes it is نهي عن المنكر, it is to distance people from the wrong. And sometimes it's in the way of jihad, that is fighting in the cause of Allah. So jihad, it's better than all of the... Now why is that? What is understood at large from jihad is fighting with kuffar. That is one side of it, one meaning of it. But it is not restricted and limited to only that battle, that fight or that bloodshed. Here, jihad, it could be in the form of an armed battle. Sometimes it is jihad in learning, jihad in earning, jihad in economy. Or for example, what the hadith says, that al-kaddu la'ayadeh kal-mujahid fi sabilillah, that someone who strives, who works hard for his wife and children, he too is a mujahid in the way of Allah. And for him, all that reward is there. And the topic which we had mentioned regarding takfir says, someone who strives hard, works hard for his wife and children, as a result of that service which he is providing for his wife and children, Allah covers the wrong which was done in the past of, by that individual. So jihad in politics, jihad with oneself, which is jihad with jihad in nafs, as it is said. Among them is this jihad with one's soul. One of the battles when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was returning from the battle, he addresses the soldiers and says, مَرْحَبًا بِقَوْمٍ قَدَوُ الْجِهَادَ الْأَسْفَرِ. That is, well, I say welcome or glad tidings to these soldiers, to the nation who had performed this minor jihad. وَبَقِيَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْجِهَادُ الْأَكْبَرِ. And what remains upon them is this jihad which is akbar. And then someone said in that qida, Ya Rasulullah, مَا الْجِهَادُ الْأَكْبَرِ. Someone said, Ya Rasulullah, what is this greater jihad? What is this jihad akbar? And then Rasulullah says, jihad al-nafs. Fighting with your own soul, that is jihad akbar. Why do we need to fight our own soul? We have someone within us, shaitan. And in that hadith of Mi'raj, the Prophet, he says that وَالشَّيْطَانْ يَجْرِي فِي عُرُوقِهِمْ. That shaitan is flowing within us like blood which is flowing in our veins. Shaitan is flowing in us. So someone who is so close to us, we need to fight him. He is inviting us towards disbelief. He is inviting us towards corruption. And we have to constantly fight this shaitan who is so close to us. And for that says, أَعْدَى عَدُوَّكَ نَفْسَكَ الَّتِي بَيْنَ جَمْعِي. The worst of your enemies is that enemy of yours within, who is within you, who is so close to you, You can fight someone who is in the open, who is standing against you easily. But someone who is hiding inside me, fighting that enemy is very difficult. For that reason, this jihad is known as jihad al-Akbar. Marhum Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi, he had this book Jihad-e-Ba-Nafs, which he had written decades before the Islamic Revolution. That is Jihad-e-Ba-Nafs, which is the major jihad. And it was by this practice throughout these decades, and by training, educating himself, was it possible for that Jihad-e-Asghar, that revolution, to come into existence. Without the Jihad-e-Akbar, this is also not possible. If we have a bigger aim, for example, our aim is to be with the Imam, that is a huge big aim, or the best of positions which a person can possess. If we want to be with the Imam, to be with him it's easy. But to be with him requires a caliber, requires some qualities, and those qualities can be adapted by Jihad-e-Akbar. So first we have to pass through that phase of Jihad-e-Akbar to get to something small, get to something minor. So being an associate of the Imam is good, but to get to that destination, we need to correct ourselves. One of the jihads, one of these that we ought to perform now, it's this cultural jihad, meaning that we have to elevate our ma'rifah. We have to elevate our knowledge. For example, we say, Bikum yunazzilul ghayth, addressing the a'imma, the ma'sumin alayhi salam. We say that it is through you the rain drops, which is a huge big title that we give to ma'sumin, the imam alayhi salam. That is, if it wasn't them, the rain wouldn't drop. If it wasn't for them, the sky would fall down. If the sky is held back and it doesn't fall down, it is because they are holding it back. So what exactly all this means? So for that reason, we have to elevate our knowledge. We have to elevate our understanding. That deen has to be understood. And that too is a jihad. That is jihad in learning. So we have to be well equipped when it comes to ma'rifah. Now for this cultural jihad, like every other jihad, there are some conditions. Now, what are the conditions? First of all, we have to know who the enemy is. When the enemy is known, we can fight him. If we know that we have an enemy with an X amount of ammunition, we can fight him with that X amount of ammunition that we have. If we have an enemy who is so strong and we haven't got anything, we cannot fight him. So we have an enemy which is in us, who is so strong. To fight that enemy who is so strong, we have to become strong ourselves. He stands against Allah with all his equipment. We also have to stand against that enemy, well equipped. And that equipment that we have, it can be sought by way of ma'rifah, by way of learning. So there are some conditions to fight this enemy. The first condition is khulus, sincerity, ikhlas. As it was mentioned repeatedly in the past few days, that is a requirement for this Jihad-e-Asghar. Now even if someone was to fight that Jihad-e-Asghar with the Prophet, I'll give you some examples, then you wouldn't come to know that just fighting in the way of Allah and dying in the way of Allah, blood being shed and giving away of life, doesn't necessarily mean that we have ended up in the heaven. No. Even then it is not. After the examples you will get. During the battles, one of the Muslim soldiers, he was fighting ferociously. Rasulullah also was in that battle. One of the ashab of Rasulullah in that battle comes and says, Ya Rasulullah, do you see that person? How strong, how brave he is, how ferociously he's fighting. Rasulullah gave no notice to this person who was telling about that third party. He thought that Rasulullah was so much occupied and busy in this combat, he did not listen or hear what he was saying. Comes closer to Rasulullah and says, Ya Rasulullah, that person, do you see him? fighting. Look at him, how strong he is, how brave he is, and how good he is fighting. He's a good soldier and he must be having a great rank before Allah. Rasulullah turns to him and says that that person, yes, he has no rank at all. Although he is fighting in this battle with me and he is fighting in that way, he possesses no rank at all. And then he says, why is that? He says, that is, the Prophet says, the reason why this person, this soldier, participated in this battle was to be away from the mocking and taunting of the women in Medina. What happened was that when Rasulullah said that everyone has to participate in this battle, even the old men, they came upon the call of Rasulullah and they went to the battlefield. And this guy, he stayed back. The women, they started mocking him, taunting him and saying that, what is this? You are a shame in the community. When the women started back-chatting for this person and all the gossip was in the community, to avoid all that, he came to the battlefield and said that, I will fight a battle so that when they are informed, they will praise me. Rasulullah says his intentions were not pure. That were the intentions, and even if he does die, no rank does he possess in the hereafter. So intentions have to be sincere in every jihad. May that be jihad asghar, if we want to win, and intentions have to be pure. In jihad akbar, that is fighting with our own soul, if we want to win. Or elsewhere we find in other riwayah that a person martyred was addressed, that this person, this shaheed, was killed in the way of a donkey. That is the reason why he participated in the battlefield, was that if he gets some booties or gets some money, he could go and get by a donkey. And then the intentions were to acquire a donkey, as a result of which he was known as Shaheed al-Himar. So Shaheed in the way of a donkey. The same thing is in this cultural jihad, that if we want to learn, if we want to earn, if we want to increase our ma'rifah in this jihad, in this striving, intentions have to be sincere. That it has to be to reduce the distance between me and my Lord, I learn. To elevate my ma'rifah, I learn. Qurbatan ila Allah. And if it is for the heaven, that too, it's for the sake of Allah. So Allah has to exist in all stops of this. We do find that during the Salawat. One of the ulama, he says that living today in Qom, says in all these entities in Iran, one of the offices, there is a young person who worked the most in that office. And he was the most ill with all these different, a package of diseases, a package of illnesses. He was among one of those who was wounded in the battlefronts in that Iran-Iraq war. And says every day he has to take tens of tablets just to keep himself upright. Cancer and what not. Says, despite all that, when we saw him, we just felt ashamed that how come this person who is so ill, he is working so much, and how come we cannot be a match to him. And one day one of them has guts. Says, why do you work so hard? Why do you work so hard? He says, what I saw, if someone else had seen, he also would work more than what I am working for this noble cause. Says, what did you see? Says, in the battlefront, I was with this Shaheed, and there I see that these tanks are coming towards us, and soon it was as such that the tank also would have crossed the limits. And he had this hand grenade in his hand and he wanted to blow that tank. Was waiting for the tank to come closer and closer to throw that hand grenade. He says that the tank came much faster and he got stuck in the belts of that tank, and the size of it, the speed of that, I saw him that he got crushed. It was just pieces of flesh that was just being thrown in the sky. And I came by him, half of his body was gone. And it was his last moments. He had two children. He was naming the two children. And then he addresses to the sky and says, God, are you pleased with me now? So he gave away his life. And the last moments were that, Allah, are you pleased with me? Are you not with me? Ridham birala muqtasleem and li amri what we learned from Allah Ta'ala. Says that incident which I saw is unforgettable. And when I see people of that caliber fighting in the way of Allah, that makes us shameful, that why are we not striving in the way. So in this cultural jihad, that when we want to learn, we have to learn good. We have to understand correctly that this distance between us and Ma'sumeen has to reduce. Or for example, if someone is giving a sermon or teaches, if intentions are not sincere, it would be exactly like that Shaheed al-Himar, the Shaheed who gave away his life for a donkey. Now, Quran says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ. Now it isn't as such that if opportunities are given to a few and if they don't participate in these jihads. Now not necessarily the jihad which is the battle. In every other jihad. Sometimes people think that it is we because of our existence, this entity for example, will flourish. It is not as such. Allah takes the heat, takes the charge, everything is with Him. If this person is not there, He will put in place someone else better than that person. This ayah says that if someone moves away from deen, irtidad means a Muslim becoming a kafir. Says Allah will bring about better nations than that person, and his charge or his a'mal, the action which Allah wants to take place, will take place by people better than you. This is what the ayah of Quran says. And the same thing is said by Amir al-Mu'mineen in this wasiyah, says Jahid fillah haqqa jihadin, that is, in the way of Allah, you strive really hard. وَلَا تَأْخُذْكَ فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةُ دَائِمٍ. And it shouldn't be as such that if people taunt and mock at you, you are put off. No. Let them talk, people will talk. If you do good, they will talk. If you don't do, they will talk. They have to talk and they will talk. So, you shouldn't mind as to what is happening by these people. Imam says, you perform jihad, you do your duty, and take no notice of what others say, you do your duty. Now, in the incident of, for example, Salman Rushdie, now the Foreign Office delegations, they went to Marhum Imam and said that if this fatwa of yours is to be implemented, there will be all these sanctions from the Western world. This is what will happen, and we are at present in this state of war. If he wanted, he could have taken that word back. He says, you want the fame of the Prophet to go, and you want my fame? Is my honor more than Rasulullah? That is when it comes to jihad vis-a-vis-Allah, that is striving in the way of Allah, to implement the name of Allah, the fame of Allah, we are nothing, we are no ones. If we could fight for the cause in learning, in earning, whatever it is, in the way of Allah, qurbatan in Allah, He will elevate. Like this, man tawada'a lillah, rafa'ahu Allah. Someone who is humble in the way of Allah, Allah says, I will elevate that person. But if someone comes and says, no, I am this and I am that, wada'ahu Allah, Hadith says, Allah will put him down. The same thing is seen with that fatwa of Marhum Mirza Shirazi, when he gives that verdict that from now, using, consuming, buying, selling of tobacco will remain haram, and whoever does that is fighting Imam al-Asr alayhi salam. So that fatwa or that merchandise or dealing, he says, will be equal to fighting Imam al-Asr. So that is jihad fi sabilillah. Sincerity has to be there, the first condition. Now, a true Shia, as Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wassalam in this wasiyah mentions, says that you shouldn't be affected by the opinions of the people. what others say. To one of his trusted companions, Imam Baqir alayhi salatu was salam, mentions this. And it is shocking. A lesson to each, a reminder to you, a lesson to myself first. Imam says, وَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّكَ لَا تَكُونُ لَنَا وَلِيًّا حَتَّى لَوْ اجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْكَ أَهْلُ مِصْرِكَ وَقَالُوا إِنَّكَ رَجُلٌ سُوءٌ. Imam says, you will not be a wali of ours, a friend of ours, until if everyone in your town, they got together and they said that you are a bad guy, you are an evil person. وَقَالُوا, if they said that, وَلَوْ قَالُوا إِنَّكَ رَجُلٌ صَالِحٌ, if they say that you are a bad guy, it doesn't make you sad, it doesn't hurt you. You are not mindful of what they say. The entire town is against you. And then says, وَلَوْ قَالُوا إِنَّكَ رَجُلٌ صَالِحٌ لَمْ يَسُرُّكَ ذَلِكَ. And if they say that you are a good person, if all of them unanimously say that you are a good person, that too also makes no difference in you. وَلَاكِنْ اِعْرِضْ نَفْسِكَ عَلَىٰ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. So the word of this nation of yours, all of them unanimously saying that you are good, must not affect you. All of them saying that you are bad, must not make you sad. But Imam says, you present yourself to the book of Allah and see. اِعْرِضْ نَفْسِكَ عَلَىٰ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ فَإِنْ كُنْتَ سَالِكًا سَبِيلَهُ. That is, if you were on the path or the teachings of Quran, زَاهِدًا فِي تَزْهِيلِهِ. And again, you possess that piety, رَاغِبًا فِي تَرْغِيبِهِ. And you were enthusiastic to the teachings of Quran, خَائِفًا مِنْ تَخْوِيفِهِ. Whatsoever Quran has asked you to be afraid of, you also were afraid of that. وَإِنْ كُنْتَ مُبَعِنًا لِلْقُرْآنِ فَمَعْدَ الَّذِي يَغُرُّكَ مِنْ نَفْسِكَ. And then ultimately Imam says, if you find yourself that all these teachings of Quran are there and you are standing against the teachings of Quran, then what makes you proud? It is what this person is if he stands against the teachings of Quran. So a good criteria was mentioned here. Inshallah, we continue this tomorrow. Salawat. It was mentioned yesterday and the day before yesterday that we have to be optimistic with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That is, before that it was mentioned that we have to have a lot of hope in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and in these days and nights this hope has to be enhanced. We, by the grace of Allah, have to be optimistic. And one of the conditions to get our du'as accepted is that we have to be optimistic. And this is an important topic. In one of these whispered prayers, the 15th Munajat Khamsat Ashar, I believe it's that Raghibin of the Hopeful. The Imam says, Ya man idha sa'alahu abdun a'tahu. Beautiful. Says, O someone who when approached, that is when a servant asks him, he gives. That is that hope. That is, we come to the door of Allah with a lot of hope. That is, being optimistic that we will ask Him and we will get it. And if we come to Him with a negative mind, we will not get it. That is, that hope has to be there. If you're going to get some job, be very hopeful. 100% you will get it. Or if you're going to your studies, the same thing. That with 100% hope that you will pass, you will pass. So whatever we have as our mindset, that will happen. La tayasu min rahmatillah. Quran says that you must never be in despair from the mercy and rahmah of Allah. Rahmatillah is that rahmat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So the basis of losing hope we find in Quran are three things. It's either kufr or nifaq, which is hypocrisy, and also pessimism. Not being optimistic with Allah, being pessimistic with Allah leads us to kufr. If, for example, if you look into Surah Al-Fath, that says that وَيُعَذِّبُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ وَالْمُشْرِكَاتِ أَضَّانِّينَ بِاللَّهِ فَالنَّسَوْ. That is, those mushrikeen, the hypocrites, and then those mushriks. And then says, those who were pessimistic with Allah. For them, says, يُعَذِّبُ, they will be punished. The reason for the punishment is being from the pessimistic with Allah Ta'ala. So they accept God, but they have evil thoughts regarding Allah. If we were in sync with this creation of Allah, we will find that we enjoy this life that Allah has given to us, if we are totally adaptable or in sync with what He has created. As God, He is the absolute in existence. God, He is the creator of this existence. He is the sustainer of this existence. So we have to be optimistic with Him, and everything around us will be a heaven if we have that optimism in Him. And if we are pessimistic with Allah, then everything around us, no matter where we are, in the best and the most comfortable and lavish house, it will be a hell, a Jahannam, because of that pessimism that we have in Allah. Our being optimistic or pessimistic towards Allah has no effect on Him, no effect on Allah. It is us who will benefit from this ideology or from this opinion, and it is us who will lose. Quran says, curses and be upon those who are pessimistic with Allah Ta'ala. So being optimistic gives us a reason to every goodness. We have faith in Him and have actions, and one of the best recitals is the Zikr Yunusiyya, which is La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minal zalimeen. That is, you find both optimism in this Zikr and you find pessimism also in this Zikr. When Prophet Yunus alayhi salam was in the belly of that fish for 30 years, there his recital was La ilaha illa anta subhanaka. First part of it says that there is no God but you. Anta, it's you. Subhanaka, glory belongs to you. That is, everything good is yours. Anything negative is away from you. Subhanaka means that everything which is positive is in you, everything which is negative is away from you. And then says, Inni kuntu minal zalimeen. If it's bad, it's me. If it is wrong, it is me. If it is someone who has oppressed, it is me. So all positive, it's you. All negative, it's me. This is the teaching. And this zikr is among those beautiful azkar that can be recited anytime you want. And the best recommendation that we have for this is that you bow down in sajda and say as many times as you can, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minal zalimeen. So this recital, it's known as Zikr Yunusiyya, and this also enhances a lot of hope in Allah, a lot of optimism in Him. A person, if someone was paralyzed and the doctor cured him, for example, the hand was paralyzed, the doctor cured the hand, now this person with this hand that was faulty at a time, defective at a time, now it's cured. With this hand that was cured, he can bless an orphan, he can box an orphan with that one hand. In either cases, if he does that positive action or the negative action, he can say that or attribute that action to the doctor. That if I blessed it, it was because of the doctor. If I boxed that orphan, that too was because of the doctor. The light that we can attribute these stars both to Him. The light that stars and the planets possess, the light is from the sun. Darkness is of their own. The same thing, if we possess anything good, it is from Allah. If it is anything bad, that is my own. Like the darkness of the planets is their own. Light is from the sun. Hence, all the light and goodness is from Him. For example, Zainab al-Kubra, alayha salam. She lives for 56 years. After Karbala, she lived for about a year and a half, about 2 years. She saw every pain, or in reality, she saw more pain than Abu Abdullah and Hussein. But Imam, his life ended at a point, but she took the charge, and what she saw, Abu Abdullah and Hussein did not see. Now, in the presence of that Mal'un ibn Ziyad, he says that, how do you see what Allah did to you? That is, how He killed your brother. In reply, she says, مَا رَأَيْتُ إِلَّا جَمِيلًا, that whatever I saw was beautiful. And then this iman of this great lady is that she says she gives the charge of affairs, of every beauty, every goodness to Allah. مَا رَأَيْتُ إِلَّا جَمِيلًا. And then says, yes, whatever I see is beautiful. He exalted us by giving us that shahada to my brothers. He elevated us by granting this dignity, even in that captivity. In that way, we protected the deen of Rasulullah. So that is how awliyaullah see. That is, everything beautiful is from Him, everything negative is from us. That is the teaching we have to apply. And that way we find that optimism in Allah also increases. Another example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet, he was in Ta'if, one of the cities in Hijaz, performing tabligh, teaching, guiding people. Now people, they used to throw stones at Rasulullah. They used to wound him, hurt him. Now this existence of mercy, rahmatun lil alameen, wounded with blood flowing from his face. By one of those walls of those orchards there, he sits. And what does he say? Says, Allah, I have no complaint. No complaint. But I do complain of my own shortfall. If you will be pleased with these services, I don't mind. More stones may come to me. I don't mind being hurt. That is how beautiful the outlook or this opinion of Rasulullah is regarding the existence of Allah. Or for example, this dua, Kumail, which we recite, we say, وَبِنُورِ وَجْهِكَ الَّذِي أَضَاءَ لَهُمْ كُلْمَ شَيْءٍ. That is, it is by your light, that is the light of your existence, everything has illuminated. So if there is light in the existence of Allah, it is by Allah Himself. So every decree of Allah is good. Throughout these days, every night we recite this dua, that the decree and the divine command of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, which is written in this glorious month, to enlist us among the su'ada, among those who are prosperous. That is, being optimistic with Allah. And not to be listed among those who are defamed. That is, being optimistic with Allah. So this month, it teaches us how we have to be optimistic with Allah. That all He does is good. Bad is ours. Evil is ours. Root of optimism, how do we enhance that and increase that? That is by elevating our ma'rifah. It was mentioned repeatedly, host of this month is Allah, we are the guests. And the primary requirement is that we have to know who this host is. What are the qualities of this host? What are the attributes of this host? What does this host want from us? And what are the results that will be given to us? Or the same thing can be seen, that we look at the blessings of Allah that He has given to us. And many a times what we do is that we look at things that He hasn't given to us. Things that He hasn't given to us, we have to look into that in a different way. That it is due to His wisdom. He did not want me to have that blessing, so He did not give. And people of that great and good caliber, what they thank Allah for not giving those things which they don't possess. So that too requires thanks. Because it was His divine wisdom due to which He did not give me, for example, that blessing. Had He given that blessing to me, I may destroy it, I may ruin it. Maybe this is not the right time. That blessing may be given to me later on. And among these du'as that we recite every night in this month is this du'a Sahar. Then we say that Allahumma inni as'aluka min jamalika bi'ajmalihi. That is, O Allah, I ask you by your exalted beauty, and I ask you by your beauty, which is all beautiful. Allahumma inni as'aluka bi jamalika kullih. that, O Allah, I ask you by all your beauty, that is optimism in Allah, that what He did not give us, that is due to those favors He has upon us. The other thing is that Quran teaches us that we have to be optimistic with Allah. تَفَأَلُوا بِالْخَيْرِ تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Many a times we think of things which are negative, negative comes by. We think positive, positive comes by. And we are said that when you say something would happen, say inshallah after that. That is, if Allah wishes, if Allah pleases, if Allah desires. And when you hook it and link it and connect it to Allah, good will come to you. Because He is all good. Allah is all good. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he hated being pessimistic. He was always optimistic, always. One of his companions was absent for a few days. He inquires, where is that person? Ashab, they say that he has fallen sick. He is ill. Rasulullah comes to see him, and he was shaking and shivering with fever, temperature. There Rasulullah, this existence of mercy and kindness, says to this person, now these reports which Rasulullah mentions are to increase hope and optimism in an individual. Comes by his bedside and says, this shaking and fever, shivering of yours, that is one fever of yours, is an atonement of a year's wrong which was done that will be forgiven just because of that fever. Rasulullah speaks to him in that optimistic way and he replies, what do you say, Ya Rasulullah? This fever is killing me. I'm shaking and this fever is killing me. Rasulullah gets upset. Says, I am being optimistic. When you are optimistic, and that will attract optimism towards you, and you are being pessimistic, he stands and comes out of that house. Not long did it take that that person died in that fever. Rasulullah says, if you are optimistic, good will fall on you. And hadith says that balas, afflictions, they are hanging in this atmosphere. We, by our optimism, we put them away, drive them away. And we, by all our own pessimism, we invite them towards us. Hadith says that Allah, He has designed this creation as such, that every land, every nation, every people, every creation gets a set amount of water through rain. Says that when people commit sins in that place, in that area, the clouds, they are instructed to move towards the oceans and pour down in the ocean so that people in that land, they don't benefit. That is that grace of Allah. Water is all. Now here in this hadith, says that Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, she was walking by the Nile and she sees that basket flowing in the ocean. She comes, takes that basket, opens it, and finds a beautiful baby in it. What she says, that this baby will be a delight of my eyes. And it so happens that that baby finds salvation for Asiya. She adopts him, that is Hazrat Musa, adopts Musa, and says that, that is as a result of that optimism which she had, and she said that this baby will be a delight of my eyes and I'll adopt him and make him my son. As a result of that, she also ended up in the heaven. End of Hazrat Asiya also is known. Fir'aun, when he saw that baby, he says, I think this is the baby who all those magicians had said that he is going to ruin me, he's going to kill me. He was pessimistic and that happened unto him. She was optimistic and that optimism saved her. Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, when Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, when Zulaikha, she planned to when the women in Egypt, they were mocking at her, that what is this, the queen, she is being misled, or she is performing all this unchaste activities with her own slave. When she was being mocked and taunted by the women of Egypt, she plans and invites the best and the most beautiful women in town, and then says to Yusuf that what you have to do is just take this basket of fruit and walk in between the women. So that is how she wanted to deceive all. Now here Prophet Yusuf, what does he say? That says, Ya Rabbi, Qala Rabbi, As-sijnu ahabbu ilayya mimma yad'unani ilayya. That is, that prison is much more beloved to me. And it so happens that Yusuf is thrown, he is thrown into those prisons. And once when he was having these whispered prayers, munajat with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he says to Allah that, why did I end up in this prison, Ya Allah? My intentions were not bad. I did not intend to do any sin. So why did I end up in this prison? There he was addressed that it was your wish. You said, As-sijnu ahabbu ilayya. That is, the prison is good for me. So it was what you desired. You were pessimistic and you said the prison will be better, so I gave you the prison. Or Rafa, they say that, and we do find this in Riwayat, that he should have said that, Allah, I ask you for a good end. I ask you for a good aqibah. If that was the case, I would have given you that aqibah, not the prisons. The same thing can be seen with Prophet Ya'qub. Prophet Ya'qub, when the sons, they came and said that, Father, can we take Yusuf with us? He says, I fear a wolf would eat Yusuf. Now the sons, they learned from the father. And they came back and said, Father, a wolf ate Yusuf. So that is being pessimistic. If you are optimistic with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, that optimism will unfold before you. And if you are pessimistic before Allah, that too also will unfold. Regarding Pharaoh, it is said that he was an Iranian. From Iran, he moved to Egypt. He was very smart, very bright, very brilliant. He started his mission there by buying a piece of land and establishing a cemetery. And looking at his brilliance, his smartness, and he gradually started growing. He made a lot of money, all these different positions and ranks he got, until he became the king, the ruler of that land. And then he ultimately claimed to be the god. Here, hadith says that Jibreel, he comes to Pharaoh in the form of a human being. Now, in addition to all this filth which Pharaoh had, he had some good qualities as well. That is, he listened to others. He mingled with others, and many other good qualities he did possess. Jibreel, he comes to Pharaoh and says that, I have a few servants and slaves. One of them has stood against me, is an oppressor, with a lot of corruption. What do I do with him? Pharaoh says, drown him, ruin him, kill him. And then Jibreel says, Pharaoh, can you write that down for me? He writes it, signs it, and gives it to Jibreel. So he said, and that happened. Riwayat, they say that he would have said that, correct him. Give him some chance so that he can fix himself. If Pharaoh was optimistic, that optimism would have unfolded, and what he wanted and he desired would have happened. The same thing is with us. If we have a lot of hope in Allah, if we are optimistic with Allah, that optimism also, what we read in every day in this dua after namaz, Allahumma ghayyir su'a halina bi husni halik. That is, Allah, all the wrong is in us. You change all that wrong to good. Why? Because you are good. You are all beauty. On this dua, iftitah, towards the end of it, we say that, وَصَالَحَ الدُّعَى وَالْمَسْأَلَةِ فَاسْتَجِبْ لَنَا. That is, Allah, all the good du'as that we have, you accept. وَإِذَا جَمَعْتَ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَارْحَمْنَا. That is, when you will congregate and gather The mankind at large, from the first most to the last most, you had mercy upon us. And that says, وَبَرَاءَةً مِنَ النَّارِ فَاكْتُبْ لَنَا. That is, Allah, you keep us away from the hellfire. And this dua we find every day, in every dua of the sacred month of Ramadan, وَمِنْ عَذَابِكَ وَهَوَانِكَ فَلَا تَبْتَلِنَا وَمِنَ الزَّقُومِ وَالْغَرِيمِ فَلَا تُتْعِمْنَا. And from the food of the hell, which is zari', which is zakum, which is the boiling water, and that zakum and zari', it is said in riwayat that it is the dirt of this existence, and that is the dirt of the sins done and performed by the creation, which is squeezed out, that will be made into that dirty liquid, which will be the food of those to whom this jahannam will be assigned. وَفِي النَّارِ عَلَىٰ وُجُوهِنَا فَلَا تَكْفُبْنَا. Do not abase us in the hellfire, as we read in this glorious dua of Iftitah. So that optimism has to be there in Allah. With a lot of hope we come to this month, and with all that hope we say, Allah, we are positive that we will be forgiven, we are positive that you will give us, and with all that hope we ask Allah that He will definitely give us, and He will give us. With a shaky mood, with all those negative mindset, if we come to Allah, definitely be sure it will not be given. So no matter what you want, no matter how much you want, if Allah was to give, and in that hadith we do find that if every one person asks from Allah all what every good noble asks from him, and if all of that was given to this one individual, says nothing will lessen from the kingdom of Allah, because it is Him who is the creator, it is Him who is the sustainer. So have that hope in mind, have that optimism in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and He will definitely help. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala help us understanding these glorious sayings and teachings. May Allah expedite in the returning of our Imam, increase our ma'rifah, our understanding. Host of this month is Allah. Allah, make it as such that we try and know and come to ourselves and know you a little bit. Ya Allah, our children, count them among the best of Muslims who ever existed. Our Imam, hasten his return, count us among the best of his supporters and those who seek Shahada with sincere intentions in his service. Wa'atil fi faraji Mawlana Sahib al-Zaman.